Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Even though, again, in the summertime, seems like we are small in numbers, it's still good to come together as a body of believers come before the Word of God and look at what He has for us specifically to encourage us and equip us for the week before us. So we will be in the book of Philippians again, and this time chapter 3. We'll be in Philippians chapter 3. We did the first part of chapter 3 last week. So this week we will be in the latter part of Philippians chapter 3. And then Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to 21. I won't go too deep into reminding us of overall about Philippians. I think you have heard that for several weeks. As Ricardo said, this will be the last week that I'm bringing forth the word on Sunday mornings. I believe next week, Randall, you are up, and then Daniel will be back and cover chapter 4 with us the following week. So Philippians chapter 3, I will quickly review just what we did in chapter 3, the first part of chapter 3. I won't go into the rest of the book, but it seems we should be very familiar with the background and why Paul is writing and to who Paul is writing and the overall purpose of the epistle. But for chapter 3, we looked at overall the title or theme was Christianity is a relationship with Christ and not religion. Christianity or being a Christian means that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is not just a sense of following a religion. And we subdivided chapter 3 into four main parts. We looked at verses 1 to 3, where Paul was conveying to the Philippian believers that relationship with Jesus Christ is not out of obligation or rituals. Verses 1 to 3 of chapter 3 was relationship with Jesus Christ was not out of obligation or rituals. And we saw and we looked at some of the things about how the Judaizers were trying to force new converts to get circumcised. And we know for sure that that is not what the intent of circumcision was, neither is being asked of us to go through that process. So relationship with Jesus Christ is not out of obligation or rituals, verses 1 to 3. Verses 4 to 7, we saw Paul was wanting to convey to the Philippian believers that relationship with Jesus Christ is not obtained by following the Mosaic law or the oral traditions and regulations and rules. So Mosaic, the relationship with Jesus Christ is not by following the Mosaic law or oral traditions or the other rules and regulations that the Judaizers were trying to make the new Christians follow. And that's verses 4 to 7. The third part we saw was verses 8 to 11, where Paul is conveying to the Philippian believers that Jesus Christ is and that relationship with Jesus Christ is centered on knowing Christ. Okay, so the first two were what it is not, and the third one is what it is. A relationship with Jesus Christ is centered on knowing Christ. And we saw a little bit of details about what it means to know Christ. We saw that it means that we have to change our priorities. We have to make sure that Christ is number one. We saw that we need to make sure that we put aside or count as dung those things which are valuable to us and those things which we pride ourselves upon. And we also saw that relationship and knowing Christ also means that we are putting on His righteousness and also that we are making use or enjoying the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to each and every one of us to live a sanctified, holy life. And we also saw that relationship with Christ and knowing Christ means that we have fellowship in His sufferings. Jesus said to His disciples, in this world you will have trouble and you will have difficulties and you will have pain. And because Christ has overcome the world, and we have that as an example before us. So we will also have fellowship in his sufferings. And lastly, we are continuously made conformable unto his death. So constantly dying to self, burying the old man, and not feeding the old man, but instead letting the Spirit lead us. And these are all the factors that we saw, or the pillars that we saw for knowing Christ. And the last section of chapter 3, and the last part of chapter 3, was titled as relationship with Jesus Christ should be growing closer or maturing in Christ. So relationship with Jesus Christ means that you are growing closer or continuously maturing in Jesus Christ and being more like Christ. And that is the title or the heading of verses 12 to 21 we will be looking at today. So I have titled that today's message as Relationship with Christ Demands Constant Growth. Relationship with Christ Demands Constant Growth. And we saw earlier the relationship is not out of rituals or obligations. It's not out of following rules and regulations. But relationship is with Christ is centered on knowing him and growing in Christ. So there are five essentials for growing in Christ, which Paul defines here in verses 12 to 21. And I will quickly give you those five breakouts or five essentials, and then we'll start look and we'll read through the scriptures specifically, so we can hear what Paul is addressing the Philippian believers with. So number one, essentials for growing in Christ means that you are continuously following after Christ. Essentials for growing in Christ, you are continuously following after Christ. Number two, you are forgetting the past or your past. Number three, you are reaching forth to the future. Number four, you are following godly examples. And the last one will be looking forward to future glory in the world to come. And the quick breakout there is number one, following after Christ. You can see that in verse 12. And number two, forgetting the past. You'll see that in verse 13. Number three, reaching forth. You'll see that in verses 13 to 16. Number four, following godly examples. And you'll see that in verses 17 to 19. And lastly, the fifth essential for growing in Christ is looking forward to future glory in the world to come. And you'll see that in verses 20 and 21. So without further ado, let's read what the Word of God has to say to us this morning, starting in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you weeping, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Verse 12 Paul is confessing something to the Philippian believers. What is he saying there? He is saying to the Philippian believers, hey, I am not someone who has attained or is already perfect, but I follow after. And he had not reached the perfection of relationship with Christ. It is an ongoing process, and that is what he's indicating to him, that it is a continuous process. We have to continually follow after Christ. It is not a one-time deal. You don't come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and just stop. And you are instead continuously growing and instead continuously following after Christ. You are discovering, and you're constantly discovering the depths of the relationship with Christ. And we take the example of a husband and wife, and you want to, you think about your relationship with those of you who are married. Think about your relationship when you first met your wife. You had the attraction. You had the initial butterflies, which goes away very quickly, right? And then the relationship has staying power only if you are investing in that relationship. And when you are continually working on that relationship. Here, Paul is encouraging us to do the same. He's encouraging us to continuously follow the Master. Continuously follow Jesus Christ. Follow after Christ, growing in knowledge of Him. Maturing as a Christian. Being more and more like Christ. Chapter 2, we saw that Paul is encouraging them to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Are you becoming like the Master? Are you becoming more and more like our Master? Disciples follow the Master, and the more they learn about their Master, the more they become like Him. Disciples can't stop following the Master. Disciples need to continuously make sure that they are making progress in their walk. In the Christian walk, we don't have the luxury to just stop following the Master. We should not let our relationship with Christ be stagnant in any way. It should constantly be driven to become, we should constantly be driven to become more and more like Him. Is that the desire of our heart? Do we have a constant yearning to make sure we are following after Christ? And Paul confesses this, and he says he has not arrived nor attained that perfect relationship. He is not perfect, and he knows that he needs to continuously follow after the Master. He follows his Master so that he may lay hold of or apprehend the purpose for which he was apprehended by Christ. I'm going to repeat that. Paul is saying, follow the Master so he may, that we may apprehend or lay hold of the purpose for which he was apprehended by Christ to accomplish. Jesus Christ has a purpose for why he chose each and every one of us. He has a very specific purpose for choosing me. He has a very specific purpose for choosing you. We are his disciples, and we are called to be his disciples, and we are asked to follow after the Master and to follow the call in our lives. And Paul wanted us to make sure that we understood that we need to lay hold of the purpose of the reason, which is Christ and why Christ has called us. As I said before, you and I come from unique circumstances. You and I come from specific and unique purposes in the kingdom of God. We must not take our eyes off of Christ, who is our ultimate goal. And we should continuously follow after the Master and emulate his examples. So that's number one. So how are you continuously growing or maturing in Christ? You are following after the Master. And you're following after the intended purpose he has called you for. Number two, you see that in verse 13. And verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, the first thing the enemy wants to do to us, as soon as we, have started to grow in Christ and to mature in Christ and to, to be more like Him is that He reminds us of our past. He wants to make sure that we fail, and especially when you are growing as a Christian, that the battle and the devil wants to continuously battle us, and following the Master, the devil will bring remembrance of our past, of what we have done. Sometimes it's at the most awkward moments, isn't it? You know, when you are having that great spiritual triumph, or when you're on fire for the Lord, and it is exactly at those moments Satan wants to bring us down. He wants to bring those thoughts into our hearts. He wants to bring those things into our remembrance of how unworthy we are, and remind you and I of who we really are. But Paul says here, forget the past. Who was Paul? He was actually Saul before. He was a murderer. He was a man, you know, we don't know how many people he murdered, but I am sure he was a murderer. He persecuted Christ, and he was killing Christians. Imagine that he might have to even have fellowship with fellow believers who he might have hurt during his time while he was persecuting the church. He might have had constant reminders of his past. But he says to us, forget the past, forget about what Satan is reminding you. Remember who you are today. Remember who you are in Christ. None of that matters. Your slate is clean. Your slate and my slate is clean in the presence of God because of what has happened on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 10 and verse 16 to 23, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where there is remission of sin, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." We don't have to be worried about our past. He has removed our iniquities. He has removed our sins and our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. The east never meets the west, and the west never meets the east. And Christ is saying to us, don't dwell upon your past. I have paid the penalties for your sins. I have paid the ransom for you. Our past should not be a hindrance for our growth in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is entrusted to you. It is entrusted to each and every one of us. The Spirit of God that you and I have is no longer for us to be ashamed of our past, but instead to remember who we are, and to remember who we are in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ and in the light of what Christ has done for us on that cross. Our past is forever nailed to that cross. Our past is forever nailed to that cross, and we bear that shame no more. Paul is saying to the Philippian believers, forget the past and continuously follow after the Master. So the two essentials we already looked at for growing in Christ is, number one, follow after the Master, and number two, forget the past. And number three, we see that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Again, we see, if we read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the latter part, I'll read the whole verse again. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So the third essential for growing in Christ is reaching forth to the future. Forget the past, you are reaching forth to the future. Don't look at the past or don't focus on, but instead focus on the objective that is in front of you. What is the objective that Paul is talking about here? In verse 14, Paul is saying that we have the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul loves to use the analogies of sports. I'm sure he was a fan of the Olympic Games. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is about a runner who is running. And when a runner who is running, he is taught one of the first things to do is not to look back, but to focus on the prize that is in front of him. We have been called to a superior purpose. We have been called to a high calling and an important calling and a very critical calling. And there is no substitute for that calling. You and I are very important in the eyes of God, and we have an important purpose and calling on our lives. We have not been called as children of God to just get saved and fold our arms and sit there and do nothing till he comes. We have a purpose. We have been called with a purpose on our lives. Paul was a man who understood that very well. He gave up everything in his life to follow after the Master. He gave up everything to follow after the Master and to listen to the calling that was on his life. Here's a man who was persecuting the church. Here's a man who was killing Christians. But he is being called to be one of the greatest apostles in all of Scriptures. And when Paul is called by God, by Jesus Christ, he is told that he's going to suffer a lot. Think about that. He's calling him, and he's telling him he's going to suffer. Paul was singularly focused on his calling, and he focused every part of his energy, and he focused every part of his life on fulfilling his call. He was reaching forth unto those things that was before him. Is this how we as believers are looking at our calling? Are we pressing hard, or are we laboring hard for him? Are we reaching forth towards that finish line? Are we reaching forth towards that prize that is in front of us? Using the analogies of a runner again, are we straining and are we pushing our bodies, are we pushing our lives in a way to make sure that the end goal, and that the end goal is Christ, and that end goal is the price of knowing and to grow in him. We are reaching forth not for a perishable goal, but we are reaching forth for a prize that fadeth not, a prize that fadeth not in all of eternity. Is our life focused on a big picture like that? Is our life focused on the big picture of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are we reaching forth? Are we laboring hard for that work that he has called us to do? Or are we just cruising along? Too often Christians are just on autopilot. They're just hanging out and we feel like we have a life preserver in our salvation, and we're just floating around doing nothing. But instead of floating, instead of just doing nothing, instead of just hanging out, we should be striving forth and reaching towards that heavenly shore. And we should run our race well, just as Paul said he did. We should realize that we might be ashamed one day. We no longer are condemned. We no longer have for punishment. But we might be ashamed one day when we stand before him if we have wasted our time. If we have not put the effort that he has called us to do, and we have not accomplished much for the Lord. We are supposed to be trading our talents. We are supposed to be continuously and constantly growing in Jesus Christ. Growing closer to him, enjoying the fellowship, and growing in him to know him better and to get to know that love, that depths of his love and the depth of his mercy and kindness towards us. Are we continuously reaching forth to expect to finish our course successfully? In verse 15 and 16, it says, as many as be mature, let us be thus minded. If you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you. Paul is not saying that if any of you here are, actually Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. And the word perfect is as many of us as are mature in him. As many of us are mature in him, we should be like-minded. As we have seen before, and we should be minded, otherwise minded. If we are otherwise minded, God will reveal that to us. Paul says, let us be minded with the same things. Let us be minded with the same rules. And what is that mind? That mind is, it says in verse earlier part of chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. As believers, he says, those of us who are growing and maturing, let us be of the same mind. Let us be like-minded with each other. And let us be like-minded with our master. Let us be like our master who was lowly in mind. Who looked not at himself but looked on others. Who left his throne in glory. Who came down to this earth to save mankind. Are we growing in our Christian walk? Are we reaching forth? Are we pressing forward? Are we striving forward for that prize of the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ? So we looked at three essentials for growing in Christ. First is to follow him. And then second is to forget the past. And third is to reach forth. And fourthly, in verses 17 to 19 of Philippians chapter 3, we see that we should follow godly examples. That we should follow godly examples. Paul is challenging the Philippian believers here to pursue Christ, Christ-likeness by telling them to follow his example. He is telling them that you should follow me. Paul is not being an arrogant man here. He is someone who is really, truly pursuing and following Christ and being like-minded with Christ and being continuously growing in him. He was very bold to tell the Philippian believers to follow his example of his Christian walk. He told them to imitate him. Paul was truly following Christ and he was growing in Christ. And he was becoming more and more like Christ every day. And the amazing fact is that there is no difference between Paul and there is no difference between him and each and every one of us. He did not have some magical powers that we don't possess. He had the same spirit that has been given to each and every one of us. That same spirit is indwelling in each and every one of us. So if we think about the fact that if it's an achievable task or not, it is an achievable task. We need to evaluate our lives and say, are we using the Spirit of God that is within us? Can we boldly say to another believer or to a new Christian, can we boldly say to them, follow my example as I follow Christ? You know, I stand here very convicted of my shortcomings. I am so far away from where I should be in terms of my spiritual walk and in terms of how much I should have grown in Christ. After knowing the Lord for over 25 years, I stand here very convicted knowing that I should have been growing a lot more. I should be a lot closer to him. I should be like Paul. I should not have been in any way, shape, or form stagnant. But you know, I'm glad that you and I are not condemned because of our lack of spiritual growth. But this should just be a rude awakening for us. It should be an awakening for us to realize that we don't need to look back or feel sorry for ourselves. We simply need to look forward, reach forth, and follow after the example of Paul, and follow after other godly examples. You know, we have been adopted and accepted into the family of God, and that will never change. You and I have accepted Christ, and that never changed. But are we pleasing our Father? Are we getting to know His heart? Are we bringing a smile to His face? Are we growing closer and closer to Him? And in verses 18 and 19, Paul talks about bad examples. Paul talks about ungodly examples that you should not follow. He says, don't follow after people who are enemies of Christ, or don't follow after people whose end is destruction, or whose God is their belly. Who are people whose God is their belly? Those are people who live for this world, or people who live to feed their belly, and the successes of this world is what consumes them. Don't be like them. And don't be like people whose glory is their shame. Shameful things is what they're prideful about. Don't be like them, and don't be like them who mind earthly things. But instead, follow after the examples of godly men of God, or be yourself an example that you can say to others, follow after me as I follow after the Master. People who say they are Christians, and you can literally tell there's no difference between them and non-believers sometimes. And it's sad to say many churches in America are filled with people who have no relationship with Jesus Christ. It just seems like a form of godliness. Let us examine our hearts. Let us make sure that we are following godly examples. Lastly, the last pillar, or the last essential. So we follow after Him. We forget the past. We are reaching forth towards the future. We are following godly examples. And then the last one, and fifth one, last one is, we are looking forward to the future. And Paul is mentioning about that in verses 20 and 21. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, for whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is in heaven. We are heavenly citizens. We are not citizens of this world. We are not citizens of America. We are not citizens of this world or this earth. We are citizens of heaven. And we are merely ambassadors of Jesus Christ on this earth. Do we look forward to the coming of the Savior? Do we look forward to coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we expectantly waiting for Him? I am so ready for this body to change. And Paul says, our vile bodies are going to be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body. I was actually joking around the other day with my wife and saying that I think I'm going to start having to wear bifocal glasses because I can't read things close by. It's amazing how our bodies are changing, how our bodies are getting old and decaying. A glorious body is waiting for us. A body just like our Savior, the one who died for us, just like His body, it is going to be fashioned for us. You and I will no longer be troubled. And you and I will no longer be reminded of our past or of our sins, but instead, we will be like Him, and we will be with Him forever. Are we looking forward to that future? So in summary, five essentials for growing in Christ. Continuously following Christ, forgetting your past, reaching forth to the goal that is before us, following godly examples, and lastly, looking forward to the future glory in the world to come. Let us be encouraged today. Let us be encouraged that first and foremost, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins to save sinners like us. We no longer have to be condemned about our past. We no longer have to be condemned about who we were. We should be happy and joyful about who we are today. And today we are children of God. And so if so, we are children of God. Let us follow the Master. Let us follow the Master and let us be like heavenly citizens. And let us make sure we are continuously growing and learning and continuously wanting to be more like Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a loving God, and we thank you that we can stand in front of the word of an eternal God, and we can inspect our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work of salvation that was done for us on that cross, that no longer do we have to worry about condemnation, but we have been justified by Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement we have this morning before us to be growing in Christ, to continuously grow in you, and to continuously get to know you. Lord, as we depart into this world, help us to be captivated by the fact that we are heavenly citizens and that we are merely ambassadors of Christ and ambassadors of heaven in this world. And as we go out there this week, Lord, help us to be fervent in growing and knowing you, but also, Lord, help us to be fervent in proclaiming the word of God to those lost souls all around us. Bless our hearts, Lord, and send us in your word and send us in peace. In Christ's name we pray.